So we all lie a little bit, you know, about our age, maybe our steroid use. I mean, hey, it's true. I have bulked up recently, but it's from the protein shakes, okay? The protein shakes. Well, over the past few years, scientists have been studying lying among a very particular group, children. And they think they figured out how kids learn to lie in the first place. It's from watching grown-ups. I learned it from you, Dad. Writer Poe Bronson described this new lying research in an article for New York Magazine, and he's here to explain more. Hi, Poe.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thanks. So we all know that kids lie, but now scientists are designing studies to allow them to watch lies happen in real time. Will you talk about this study called the Peking Game?
The Peking Game is a traditional paradigm used by many lie researchers with kids. In the article, I describe it being used by Victoria Talwar, and her version will have, say, a 4-year-old, sometimes a 3-year-old, up to an 8-year-old, play a game where they're in a little room with a researcher, and the child turns their back up against the wall and has to guess what a toy is from the sound it's made.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one's easy. It's like a fire truck. And the next one's similarly easy, a baby doll. And then comes a sound, Beethoven being played. And the kid is wondering, what is this? And the kid is incentivized to want to know the answer because the more they get right, the better toy they get off the shelf at the end of the game. And then the researcher, before the kid can make a guess, the researcher says, oh, I forgot something out of the room. Don't peek. No peeking, okay? I'll be right back. And the researcher runs out and waits about a minute. And the average kid will, in about 8 seconds, break down, turn,
eight.
And peek at what made the Beethoven sound. But the funny thing is that actually you made the Beethoven sound come out of a soccer ball.
Right.
So there's no connection between the sound and what they visually see. And when the researcher comes back in, the kid will, and they ask, well, did you peek? And then the kid will say, no. And the researcher will ask, well, what was it? And the kid will say, a soccer ball. And, of course, there's no way they would have known that it was a soccer ball without having peeked. And they press the kid for explanations and try to track what's called leakage, the verbal inconsistencies that give up a lie and how good are kids at lying under different circumstances.
And in your article, in that study, you say 76% of the kids take the chance to cheat. And then when they asked if they've peaked, 95% lie. But
that's right.
That's torture. What are the kids like who don't cheat and look when scientists leave the room? They're like little John McCain's.
I don't know, John McCain's are just little. You know, the 3-year-olds tend to follow the rules. Or if you ask them if they peaked, they said yes. You know, the paradigm is meant to make kids lie.
Right.
It's meant to make them cheat, meant to make them lie, and then to test their ability to lie. It's not necessarily a metric for how well they're going to do this in real life, but to some extent you see the age differences. And the experimenters believe we can get any kid to lie if we just design the game correctly. You know, some kids didn't want the toy on the shelf, so the reason they didn't peek and lie is because they didn't really care about the toy
right.
they were getting in the end. If they cared, they would have peeked and they would have lied.
And you talk about lying in very young children, as young as 2 and 3-year-olds, and you say that smart kids tend to lie earlier. Why is that?
We think of honesty as this tantamount virtue children grow into, but in fact it's something that they grow out of. It's very easy intellectually and cognitively to tell the truth. You just say what happened.
Hmm.
To lie requires holding in your mind the truth and then something different, and to perceive not just your sense of it, but how will this be received on behalf of the listener. And it's just cognitively advanced. So smarter children, or let's just say precocious children, will reach this stage earlier, perhaps to the age of, you know, 2.5 or before the age of 3, while the normal kid's not going to really learn it until about their 4th birthday. All kids will experiment with lying. They're going to try it out. And it helps them get a sense of the idea that people have separate minds and separate perceptions. But it's the parent and friends and family who affect whether or not a little bit of lying turns into habitual social behavior or not.
Poe, what kind of lies are we talking about here? Do they distinguish among white lies, like bald-faced, egregious lies, or even kids who say they have an imaginary friend?
Yeah, the kids do grow up making and it takes a while to get these distinctions down, maybe by the age of 5. But at that point, they absolutely understand the difference between a white lie or a pro-social lie and lying to cover one's own misdeeds, or even a status lie, in which case I might say I have a Pokemon card back at home. No, I can't show it to you, but you have to believe me, I really do have it, because they want to belong to the group of people who have the coolest Pokemon card. Yeah, absolutely, they understand these differences, and they're tested with different scenarios to see to what extent do they, how badly do they rate that lie, and which types of lies are different from one another, and they absolutely grasp that stuff by the age of six.
So how are these kids learning to lie?
They're learning. First, they're developmental. They're going to experiment with it. They're learning from their parents the feeling of being disingenuous, the frequency of insincerity. So parents all the time, average parent in their own time diaries would admit to one lie a day, about once every five social interactions. And most of these are lies of self-preservation, lies to maintain another person's image of you. And to some extent, there are white lies as well. And children hear these, and because the child's around the parent all the time, the child knows the truth. And the child hears the parent tell the telemarketer, "Oh, I'm just a guest here." Or one child was telling me that she'd heard her mother saying how terrible some guy at work was, and then she gave him a great recommendation. And they see that you can be disingenuous and get by, and they kind of get comfortable with it through their parents. When they're first asked to be disingenuous,
we have to take a break. I want to get
great.
Back to these white lies. I'm sorry. We have to take a break, so please hang on. And in a minute, mm-hmm. I want to talk about why tattletales are looked down on by kids and parents alike. Also, why Jack Bauer is trying to reinvent himself, minus the torture. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm Faith Saley, and this is Fair Game from PRI. I'm talking with writer Poe Bronson about his new article for New York Magazine about why kids lie. And Poe, before the break, we were talking about parents and their white lies and how they sometimes give approbation to kids who tell white lies. Like if a grandparent gives a gift the child doesn't like and the kid pretends to be really excited about it, you know, the kids are happy about their children's good manners. And in your article, you describe a study that looks at kids' white lies. Can you talk about the soap?
The same peeking game, after they win the prize, you know, because they peeked and they cheated and they got them all right, so now they go get the prize. Sometimes they're open the prize and it's a bar of soap.
Oh.
And the poor kid is in the position of having to pretend that they like it. And they're being scored to see how much can they pretend they like it. And then they're pressed. If they say, "Oh, thanks, okay," and then the researcher will ask, "Why do you like the bar of soap?" And the kid is just squirming. The kid I was in those rooms. They look at me. They're begging to not have to extend this lie. They don't want to have to come up with reasons for why they like the bar of soap. And in the other room, the mom is absolutely cheering at the kid's ability to sort of put on a good face in this circumstance. It's not that this is the wrong thing to do for the child, and the child needs to learn to assuage some feelings and not get mad at grandma because grandma bought her a book rather than an action figure or a baby doll. But that you really see in the moment the kid being uncomfortable telling a white lie and then learning that it's okay. And you can kind of see that viscerally in the moment.
And so white lies are the type of lies that sometimes kids get approval from their parents from. But also you talk about kids who choose not to tattle get, which is, you know, a lie of omission at least, get approval from their parents. Can you talk about when your son came home and kept saying, "I don't care"?
Yeah, he was saying, "I don't care." My son he's only 6 and a half. And he came home one day out of the blue. And his new phrase that day was, "I don't care. I don't care." And I asked him, "You want to do your homework?" "I don't care." He's like, he was working on his homework. It's like, "Well, 5 plus 4 isn't 13. You know that one." It's like, "I don't care." And I was driving crazy with this thing. It was all night long. And finally, I kind of agitated tone said, "Did you learn that in school? Who taught that to you? You know, where'd you learn that phrase?" And because I've been doing this research on lying, I could suddenly see what position I'd put him in. And I could see his brain crunking out this this calculation. Do I lie to my dad or do I rat out my friends? And I stopped him and I said, before you say anything, I realized I had to backtrack. And my save on it was just to say, I only want to know, did you learn it at school versus, say, off a TV show? I don't want you to tell me which friend did it. And no time will you get in trouble or get one of your friends in trouble for telling me the truth. And so he said, oh, I learned it at school, not off a TV show. And then he gave me a big hug and said, I do care, because he felt like I think that he had high regard for my understanding of the circumstance. So I was able to save this circumstance. And many times parents entrap their kids in lies. In fact, they entrap their kid because they really want to teach the kid a lesson about lying, so they coach a lie, and they tease out a lie, and then they say, gotcha. And, you know, sometimes it's just easier not to do that and just say, you know, I saw you hit the flowers off the rose bush. Why did you do that? Or please don't do that next time, rather than, oh, what happened to my rose bush?
Did you have that interaction with your son during this study? Like, did you use something that you learned during this study to talk to him?
Oh, yeah, yeah. This was occurring, occurred the week after I got back from Montreal where the study was going on. Yeah.
Why did you get interested in this subject?
Oh, you know, I was familiar with some of this research just kind of superficially. And I didn't really see a story in it until I was digging out this sort of census data on what parents want in their kids. And the trait of honesty ranks number one for 20 straight years amongst almost all parents think it's the most important thing. Confidence and good judgment don't come close. Their kids' success is down under 5% of what parents rate as important. So it's the number one trait, but it never seemed to be the number one topic on parenting message boards or on the benches around the playgrounds. And, you know, as I was getting into the research, a lot of parents seem to be in denial around how much their, say, young kids were lying to them and whether it meant something. And especially talking to, like, online dads groups, when I'd ask them, you know, what do they think it's going to be like down the road when their child turns into a teenager, they would say, well, you know, I'm really close to my kid. I can't imagine where, you know, he's ever going to turn into lying to me. And in fact, the research on teens lying is even the best teens are going to lie to their parents about, say, five things at any one time.
So any parent who's listening right now or anyone who intends to be a parent wants to know how to deal with kids and lying. You just said don't entrap them. But also, is there a more positive way of dealing with it or fending, precluding lies?
Well, positive is the most important note, which is to emphasize the integrity and the value of honesty rather than emphasizing how bad you're going to get it and how I'm going to punish you or how mad I am.
Will you explain the George Washington story, how that illustrates
it? So in the same Peking game, right before they ask, come in the room and they ask, did you peek? They say, oh, I got back. I left this story in the other room and that's what I was out getting and I wanted to read it to you. And they either read them a paragraph-long version of The Boy Who Cried Wolf, the version in which the boy ends up getting killed by the wolf, or they read them the story of George Washington and the cherry tree, which ends with George's father saying, I'd rather have an honest kid than 1,000 cherry trees. And The Boy Who Cried Wolf, most people think this is the one that's going to reduce lying, and when the kid ends up eaten by a wolf because he was a liar. But that actually increases the number of lies kids tell. While George Washington and the cherry tree cut the lies down by about half, to where under less than half the kids were lying. And that's the message, is be more like George Washington's father in this mythic, itself a fable, a story.
Poe, we only have a moment left, but I have to know, what's the worst lie you ever told?
The worst lie I ever told? I've chronicled this in a book, but I'm on my second marriage, and I'll kind of leave it to that.
Okay.
But you can look at my third book, What Should I Do With My Life, chronicles the story of that lie.
We can read your book or read between the lines. Poe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Faith. It's been fun. Appreciate it.
Poe Bronson is a writer in San Francisco. His article about why kids lie is in the latest issue of New York Magazine. For more about him, please visit our website, morefairgame.org.